Kingston Town can't win.
Don Crusher and Al Waverley Star, stride for stride.
Cometh the hour, cometh the legend, Weeks has done it.
Talk through just, I guess, the start of your, I guess, early basketball career and your path to becoming Australian basketball, Australian basketballer. You know, obviously playing in the States, kind of what was that path look like to get you there?
Look, I was really lucky. Born in the 80s, there was no visibility around women's sport at all. You know, and our television sets only had a couple of channels, and that was sort of NBA every now and then. My parents both represented Australia, so I actually watched them achieve great things for a long time. My mum actually played for Australia, we captained Australia, and was one of the first women to go and play in America at college. So I knew that there was a pathway for me. And when I said I wanted to be the first player to play in the NBA or women's player to play in the NBA, no one ever said, no, that's not going to happen. You know what I mean? So I was sort of allowed to dream a little bit as a kid. And I just thought I was going to be a basketball player. You know, I never thought I would be anything else. And then, the pathway basically here in Australia took me directly to the AIS when I was 15 years old. And then I was in the Australian team by the time I was 16, traveling to America and World Championships and Olympic Games. And then at 19, I was over to the WNBA. I was drafted number one over there. And the rest is history, as they say. It was a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest.
And can you remember what age you kind of realised you were probably that much better than everyone? Was there a game or a patch where, you know, you put up a massive number and were like, all right, you know, this is I'm legit at this and I can do big things?
I don't think so because, you know, when I was young, I missed out on a lot of teams. So before I went to the AIS, I actually missed out on, like, Riverina teams. I missed out on a high school team and some state teams and things like that. So I never thought that I was, like, way better than anyone. And then even as an elite professional, I would say that I never felt like I was good enough. Like, and that's why I kept training and I guess just kept pushing toward whatever it was I was pushing forward to. You know, I just kept going. And I think too, because like I said, in my mind, I was never going to be anything else but a basketball player. So I didn't even think about retirement at that point. I was going to play basketball forever. So yeah, I guess that's sort of probably what pushed me, and that motivation was just thinking that I wasn't actually good enough. Like, I needed to keep getting better.
And you grew, was it 15 centimetres? Was it one summer? Was it age 15? You had a massive growth spurt. Was that correct?
I've got no idea. Where did you read that?
I did read that somewhere, so maybe that we got that wrong. But I did read that, yeah, you had a big growth spurt at about 15 or 16, and yeah, obviously, you know, you are tall, so, and you, yeah, that's kind of where it kicked off for you.
I was always, like, tall. I think, like, I was always consistently taller than everyone. By the time I was, like, 12, I was 6'2". So I was quite, yeah, I think the growth spurt sort of pretty gradual but consistent.
Happened,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I had, like, size 12 feet at the age of 12.
So you were obviously drafted to Seattle. What was it like picking up the bags, moving over to America and starting a new life with new people around you?
Yeah, super daunting. It was a crazy time. For me personally, I had a lot of anxiety, you know, being away from my parents and stuff. So traveling, flying, all of that stuff. So I had to sort of deal with that as I was growing up. And it was hard because I was a kid and, you know, I'd actually just turned sort of 19 and so I'd been able to drink for a year in Australia and enjoy life. And when I got over there, it was like, no, you can't come in here, you can't do that, you can't do this. And it was just like, well, what am I going to do? Like, just sit in my apartment this whole time. So it was a bit of a culture shock when I got over there and I did feel like I was on a bit of an island, but I feel like that was like a lot of my career when I was traveling overseas.
And you're obviously one of the greats for the Seattle Storm, multiple championships, multiple MVPs, multiple finals MVPs, and then, you know, that all culminated in having your jersey retired with them. That must be a pretty special feeling because, you know, in the US they don't hang the jerseys from the rafter unless you're an absolute superstar. So that must have been a pretty amazing moment for you.
Yeah, it was really special. I guess when you're honoured like that in a different country and, you know, in the best league in the world, it's something that I'll hold special for the rest of my life. And I actually got to take my son there, my eldest son there this year, and he got to see the jersey hanging in the rafters. And, yeah, it's really special. I think it's more now, looking back, the legacy that I've sort of left for my children, and that they get to see that anything's possible. You know, like if you really love something so much and you're passionate about it and you work for it, anything is possible.
And you've played in a few different countries and jurisdictions. Can you describe some of them and how different they were?
Oh, look, they were all different. I mean, obviously the biggest culture shocks were when I was playing in China and Russia. I think, you know, living in Eastern Europe for the period of time that I was in, and then our owner was assassinated, you know, over there, and when I was there, and it was brutal. But yeah, it's a different culture completely, the way that women are treated. And yeah, I think like I learned a lot playing in those countries. And I think it made me want to be better as well. It made me want to understand gender equality and equity and things like that. So that's why I came home and started studying, because I really felt quite, coming from a country like Australia where we are really, you know, just ourselves, we can be ourselves without any sort of fear. I found that something that I really wanted to understand more on a different level. And yeah, I did.
And on the international stage, obviously you represented Australia over many years, played in World Championships, Commonwealth Games, winning gold there, and then silver medal at the Olympics. Had some great battles and rivalries with the US there. What was it like? And then obviously culminating too in being the flag bearer in 2012. So you've had a highly decorated international career. What was that like? And how much pride did you get representing your country?
Well, for me, representing Australia was the ultimate goal. You know, like I said, my parents both played for Australia, and, you know, I remember getting my mum's Australian uniform cut down to my size when I was 2 years old. And I used to wear that thing. You know, my grandma kept on sort of making it so it would fit me, and that was who I was going to be. So, like, representing Australia was always the ultimate goal, and then, yeah, wearing the green and gold, particularly at that first Olympics, you know, that was 2000 was so, so special to represent Australia on home soil. And, you know, the country just turned out like for it. It was incredible. And then, yeah, like the Olympics, the World Cups, we won a gold medal there a couple of times with Comm Games and World Cup, and had a lot of success, you know, in terms of our population and the way that our country plays the sport. We definitely, you know, bat above the average. We're very good. It was a massive opportunity and just honour to represent the country, you know.
And just what was the, you know, it's always, everyone's fascinated by what the Olympic Village is like. What was that like in that, being in that bubble and being around the, you know, some of the best athletes or the best athletes in the world?
Yeah, always amazing. You know, you walk into dining hall and run into Rafa or, you know, Kobe, or, you know, it was crazy. Some of the athletes that you just watch TV and you're in awe of them, when you're in the village, they're just another one of you. Like, you're just part of your peer group, you know. That's pretty cool. And then also, you know, there's 24-hour McDonald's all day, every day, food. So it was cool.
We know you've got a long list of achievements, both from individual and team perspective, but where would you rank sort of the top three in either category?
Oh, look, I'd say all the journeys are different, you know, and you get something out of them, regardless of if they're great experiences or not so great experiences. I'd say that, you know, in terms of like an actual achievement, the World Cup in 2006 is definitely, winning a gold medal for Australia was huge. The flag bearer probably. And then I'd say, I've said this before too, but coming back, the comeback has been probably, and that's more of a journey, but that to me has probably been my greatest success, because it's something that I've really, really, really had to work for, and I never had to work that hard ever in my life for anything. So I think, yeah, that level of commitment has just made this journey so much more worthwhile.
And just on the comeback, obviously you've signed on with the Southside Flyers, a new WNBL season coming up soon. You've obviously came back last year and then sadly got injured, but now you're back again. So I imagine you've been through a extensive bit of rehab and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
How are you shaping up? How's the body feeling, and how are you feeling coming into another WNBL season?
Oh, look, I feel pretty good. You know, obviously I'm refreshed. I've done a lot of rehab, like you said, just really consistent. It was sort of slow and steady, really. Ran the race and won the race, and that was how I had to do it and plan it out. I never anticipated that I'd play again after what I went through earlier this year. But, you know, things happen. I feel really good. I played 10 minutes in a game yesterday, which is the first time I've actually played in a game. And, you know, in terms of where I'm at, I probably couldn't be any better, any further ahead. And I think that we're going to be a good team this year. I just have a bit of a feeling, you know.
Do you kind of have you got your role mapped out for the year ahead? Like, is it, I'd obviously be hard to kind of to say, but are you expecting to play lots of minutes or more kind of sub on, sub off role? Where do you think you'll be kind of this year?
Look, I think it's just going to be dependent on where my body's at and, you know, where I'm at in the rehab. Like, I plan on playing right from day dot. What that looks like in my role, that's up to the coach, I think, and that's also going to be dependent on how many minutes I'm allowed to play. I think I'm going to be monitored pretty closely in terms of loading and everything this year, but like I said, the way my body feels at the moment, I feel really positive, and I feel like I'm going to be pretty good.
And in terms of we move on to a bit of racing now, on the brink of the spring carnival, obviously, Lauren, how do you like to enjoy the races yourself? Do you get out to many races, or is it a family barbecue? Do you have any tips for the girls out there that are planning to head to the races this spring?
For me, it's normally at home with my parents, and we'll be watching the day, you know, with a few champers and the phone. And yeah, that's sort of how we celebrate. And I'm normally very comfortable in my sweats and, you know, a nice comfortable t-shirt. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this year, absolutely.
And obviously you've played a big part in our build up to last year and this year, being one of the stars of our Ladbrokes Cox Plate TBC. Obviously the premise was getting the best of the different sports and bringing them into the Coliseum that is the Valley to cheer on, you know, the Australia's best horses here. So you're obviously a major star of that. How was that for you? And then, yeah, the final product and seeing that out, how was that for you being part of all that?
It was awesome because I've never really done anything like that before, and it required a little bit of acting on my part, which I'm not very good at acting at all. So it was something new and exciting to do, and it was fun to be a part of. You know, it's fun to be something that's, you know, iconically Australian. And for me, yeah, like it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. And you know, like a lot of families around Australia, we do watch a lot of horse racing, particularly me from the country. It's something that I've grown up with. So,
and in the ad, we had some other masters of their caper involved in the ad. We had Ricky Ponting, Jonathan Brown, Kathy Freeman, Craig Bellamy. What was it like to mingle with some of those guys?
Yeah, it was fun. I met a few of them the day that we did the shoot, and I guess we've all got such diverse experiences, but also the same as well. You know, being athletes, and I guess the level of commitment and the things that we've been through, traveling, etc. So it was really cool. It was great fun to be a part of that. And like I said, you know, when you're doing something that it sort of feels pretty normal, you know, because you've been doing it your whole life, or watching the horse racing, it's fun, you know. And to be also involved in it like that, it was really cool.
Well, yeah, we loved having you part of it, and I think you're a definite natural, that's for sure. So if you've got a post career in acting, I reckon you're definitely.
I'm a little bit too tall.
You're definitely a shot.
I'm a little bit too tall.
And then, yeah, this year's, obviously, Cox Plate is, we're only a week away from that, which is extremely exciting for everyone here. And a tip from you for Australia's best race, who are you liking this year?
Well, look, I'm playing for Southside Flyers in the WNBL, and our owner is Jerry Ryan. So I'm going to have to back his horse, Alligator Blood. So that's my tip.
It's a great tip. He's firing all cylinders at the moment. So I think he's a big chance. Well, thanks, Lauren, for your time, and all the best with the NBL season coming up, and hope you can dominate like you have in the past with them. So all the best, and we'll chat to you soon.
Good on you, mate.
Kingston Town can't win.
Burton Crusher and our Waverley Star, stride for stride.
Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Weeks has done it.